Hello and welcome to Journey to a Dream, which is brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance. And I should say once again, we're also supported by the Andreas Racing Association. Lee is phenomenal in getting guests for this podcast. I don't know what he holds over most of you, but anyway, we do have a competition running on the Manx Radio Motorsport website, actually, for the Andreas Racing Association. There are three pairs of tickets to give away for every ARA meeting throughout the year. To enter, just go to motorsport.manxradio.com. The next race days will be on Saturday the 12th and Sunday the 13th of July. And if you haven't been up to Jerby to watch the racing there, honestly, it's an absolute spectacle. And speaking of racing at Jerby, it's somewhere that our guest today has raced. And also, he is looking ahead to the Manx Grand Prix this year, having made that entry and is looking forward to being set on that start line for the first time. Let's meet him now.
I'm Sam Norton. I'm 36 from the Isle of Man. I've been racing since 2020, mainly up at Jerby with Andreas Racing. I've done the Southern 100 and also the Pre-TT as well. So I'm married to Charlotte. We've been married for 12 years this year. We've got four kids, my oldest Bonnie, and I've got three boys, Liam, Jesse and Parker.
Any of them showing any signs of interest in motorcycle racing?
Not really, no.
Are you hoping they don't?
I am hoping they don't get involved in it, to be honest.
OK, Sam, so take us right back then. Obviously, you grew up here on the Isle of Man. You can't really avoid motorsport, can you? Was that when it all started for you?
No, it wasn't, actually, to be fair. I bought a bike, a road bike, I can't remember, about 10 years ago, maybe. And I didn't really ride it much, to be honest. Sold it, and then I bought another bike, and I did two track days on it. And then sort of got the bug for that and then went straight in and bought a race bike, basically, and thought, I'll have a go at this.
So it was never something when you were growing up, when you were little Sam, no?
No, it wasn't. My granddad and my dad were into, like, trials bikes and stuff, but it was never anything on my radar, to be honest. It was just quite weird living over here, but no, it was never anything I was really interested in, to be honest.
That's really interesting, because generally when you speak to people, it's either passed down through the family or they've been out and they've watched it and whatever. So it's quite interesting that this came, I mean, you're not old, but it's come maybe a little bit later than you might expect.
Yeah, like I said, I was more into, like, skateboarding, BMX and stuff like that when I was younger, motorbikes. I used to watch, like, MotoGP and stuff from my granddad, but I never thought in a million years I'd have a go at it, to be honest. I actually remember the first time I tried to ride a bike in France. I must have been about 12 or something like that. And I rode it to the end of my granddad's garden and got off it. And I was like, that's not for me. That was my first biking experience, to be honest.
So what do you think changed then?
Honestly, I've got no idea. I just sort of got the bug for it. Obviously, I've always sort of followed the TT and stuff. And like I said, MotoGP. And then I used to always like just looking at bikes when they'd be going past. And then I just thought, fancy a go on one of them, so Went and did it. Yeah.
I'm intrigued to know what the conversation was like with your family when you sort of said, oh, here's something I want to have a go at.
Well, it's only really me and my wife and our children. I sort of said, like, I got the road bike and I used to go out and, like, do laps, and my wife Charlotte would always worry because it takes so long on a road bike going out. And then I did a track day and I was like, I like that, you know, it was good fun, that. And then I did another one and I said, I'm going to go have a go at racing. And I used the excuse that it was a lot safer than just riding on the roads.
That old chestnut.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I don't actually have a road bike anymore, so it's purely track. And she's just kind of, my wife's really chill, and she was just kind of like, you know, do whatever you want, basically, yeah.
And so how was that whole process for you, from having that idea to, you know, going out doing the track days and then thinking you wanted to take it more seriously? Because obviously there's a lot involved.
I don't know, to be honest. I just kind of wing it, like, wing it with a lot of things I do, to be honest. I just went up there and had a go at it. I think a lot of people are the same when they first go up and do a race or a track day, they think, because they ride quite fast on the roads, they get up there and they think they're going to be really fast, and you get a bit of a reality check, to be honest, when you realise how slow you actually are. And then it's just all progression. You want to just go quicker every time you go up there. So it was just kind of got the bug more for that and just wanted to keep going quicker and quicker, really.
And it's difficult, isn't it, because obviously you're working full time. I mean, you mentioned your wife, your children as well, so I'm guessing trying to fit in everything that you needed to race-wise alongside normal family life is not always easy.
It's quite tough, to be honest. We've got four kids, and my oldest, Bonnie, she's 13, and she does a lot of dancing. So I do a lot of running her to dance lessons. It's like five times a week. So trying to get the bikes sorted and stuff like that, I actually keep my bike in the kitchen. Like I said, my wife's very chill. So I can do quite late night on working on the bike because it's in the kitchen, the kettle's there. It's quite handy, to be honest. But yeah, stuff like test days and stuff, I don't usually do them. because I've got all the commitment with the family, I basically just go in and race. I don't really do test days, stuff like that.
So you mentioned you've done the pre-TT and the Southern. Do you remember the first time you went out on the Belang course?
I do, actually. It was 2023 when, unfortunately, it got cancelled because I live right near the Southern 100. It's like a two-minute walk to the start from my house. And I remember going out. I did my two newcomers laps, and I remember being set loose on my own. And I remember riding down the road, and I was like, what is going on? Like, I couldn't actually believe that I was going down the road. I drive every day at 40 mile an hour, and I was doing God knows what speed down there. It was a bit bonkers, to be honest.
Yeah, I guess it must be quite a mindset shift. Went back in 24?
Yeah, it went back in 2024, and that was a bit of a disaster as well, to be honest. Obviously, did the pre-TT in 2024 first on my friend Tim's bike, but we missed the main race because we had problems with the bike, and then did the consolation race on the Sunday and had an oil leak, so I sort of popped around. But we did manage to finish third in that one, which was good. But the Southern was just a wet, well, damp and greasy, and more problems with the bike. So I'm hoping that this year I can have an actual good go at it, because I've not really had a good go at it yet. The pre-TT this year again was wet, and I've got no interest in riding around there in the rain, to be honest. So I'm hoping this year it's nice and sunny and nothing goes wrong.
You obviously must have to go and race away as well in the UK.
Yeah, I've done. I don't get away much. It's like I said before, with the family and the cost of it as well, to be honest. I've been to Aintree. That was good fun. And I've been to Anglesey a few times. Usually a few of us go over to the Anglesey Grand at the end of each year, which is good fun.
And there is a real community. We keep talking about this. We come back to it time and time again. There is that motorsport community over here, particularly if you're involved in the Andrews Racing Association, and those people who really, truly, Sam, understand what you're going through and why you're doing it.
Oh, yeah. I've made so many friends being up there. Like my friends Mark Rain and Damien Crook, they are always helping me out. Like Damien's round mine a lot of the time, helping me build the bike in the kitchen. Mark's always running me around, getting stuff for me. Loads of other people I've met up there, like everybody up there is just brilliant. And the club as well, like they're always really helpful with you when you need stuff as well.
And so how did you come to the point then where you thought, actually, obviously you've raced on the Belang course, it's going to be MGP?
Well, I'd sort of floated the idea with Charlotte and she said no. And then I kind of kept nagging her and saying, oh, you know, I'll just have a go at it, see if we get an entry. And kind of wore her down, I think, and she just said, you know, if you want to try it, then try it. So I put an entry in for last year, which I didn't get, and then put one in again this year and been fortunate enough to be accepted. So, yeah.
Did you promise to take the bike out of the kitchen if you were accepted?
Oh, no, definitely not.
Right, OK. No. Oh, well, that would have probably swung it for me. Do you remember where you were when you found out that you'd been accepted?
I don't, to be honest. I think I might have been at work when I got the email. Big Cheshire grin on my face when I got it, definitely.
So talk me through what the reality is then. So you get that entry in, it's accepted. How do you get from that point then to the start line? What needs to happen?
To be honest, you've got to be prepared to spend a lot of money to get yourself there. I've been really fortunate this year that I've had Ray from Blind Smart, Isle of Man up in Onken. He's come on board and he's helping me out a lot this year. And I've also had like LD Glazen. He's helping me out a lot. A lot of other ones, Man and Motors, Totally Wicked, Revolution Fitness, JRC Groundworks, the Island Floor Fitter and Vivcoil Dressmakers. They've been like my main sponsors. And without them, I wouldn't be able to do it because the cost is like, it's astronomical, to be honest, how much you've got to spend and sacrifice other stuff that you want to do as well.
And are these people that you knew anyway, or have they just seen your progress?
Well, I knew Leah, LD Glazen, and JRC Groundworks, Jason, I know them, but the rest of them are just companies that I've messaged or emailed, and I've been fortunate enough that they've offered to help me.
And a lot of people, I think, Sam, find that process really difficult because there's something about asking people to support you in a passion that you have. And yeah, I think there tends to be that feeling that people feel a little bit bad about it. But there are so many people who are willing and really want to support you in that.
Yeah, way. I do. Like, you do feel cheeky when you're just asking people to basically give you money for your hobby, I suppose. But like you said, there's a lot of people out there. You've just got to be in the right time and place, really, to get the help from people. I've probably sent out over the few years about 1,000 emails. You know, and you do get some people reply. A lot of people don't reply to you, which is absolutely fine, you know. But yeah, I've just been lucky this year with the help I'm getting.
So MGP as well, you go through a lot of the newcomers weekends. I know a lot of people find those, again, really, really helpful. You're in the same position as a lot of other people and can kind of, I don't know, sort of document your journey alongside them, I suppose. How have you found that?
Yeah, it's been good. The first one was in February, I think, which was very cold, especially in the back of the car with Milky, because the man was wearing shorts and a T-shirt and he had the aircon on, the windows open. It was unbelievable. But that was good. We did a lot of laps that weekend. I've been going out for laps with Chris Palmer as well, because he lives around the corner from me. It is helpful, to be honest, because obviously living here, I sort of, like, I know where I'm going, but obviously I don't know where I'm going when I'm approaching it at speed. So having those people telling you, with all their experience, what to expect, basically, it's very good. And we've got another one coming up on the 19th and 20th of July, which is actually my wedding anniversary. So, yet again, Charlotte's been left when I'm out doing what I want, basically.
It's her gift to you, I'm sure.
Oh, definitely.
It's really difficult to imagine, though. You know, you sort of think about going around the TT course, and if you live over here, you know, fine, you sort of roughly know where you're going. But as you say, thinking about all those breaking points and whatever, how do you keep that all in your head? Because you've got to be thinking so many stages in advance.
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite lucky that, I know I said before when we were coming in, I've got a bit of a memory like a sieve, but with stuff like that, I'm actually quite good at remembering the main things, to be honest. And I've been watching on boards, even though I wasn't riding bikes up until not so long ago. I've actually been watching on boards for, well, as long as I can remember, to be honest. It's always been something I'd like to stick on YouTube and just watch on board. So it's all kind of been in there anyway, and just having it drilled into you, it just seems to have stuck in my head. So I feel pretty confident that I know exactly where I'm going.
And in terms of the machine and you're getting your leathers and the helmet and all of that sort of stuff, is that all sorted?
Yes. Well, the bike's a bit broken at the moment, so I had a crash at the weekend, but that'll be all right. It's a Kawasaki 600 I'm riding. Yeah, I've got new leathers this year. Again, it's Ray from Blind Smart, went halves with me on them. We got them logoed up at Happy Dog Image Solutions. I've had to get a new helmet this year because my other one, although it's completely wrecked now after the weekend, it was already a bit on its last legs. So actually, when that got damaged, I'd like to thank Richard Llewellyn and Carol Smith for chipping in towards that for me. But yeah, so everything like that wise is ready to go. It's just a big expense having to spend all this money on stuff when they're basically consumable items, you know. One little mishap and they end up in the bin, unfortunately.
So you mentioned that incident at the weekend when it was the Andreas Racing Association day. What happened?
I got a terrible start, as I normally do. I was behind Liam Wood and a lad from the UK called Charlie, and I overtook Liam and then was just carrying a bit. Well, I wasn't carrying too much corner speed. I just caught up to Charlie in the middle of the corner and there was no room left for me, and we collided and I took him out, unfortunately. So I'd like to apologise again to him and to the Manx Legends racing team whose bike he was riding. Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Oh, but stuff happens, doesn't it? And were you okay?
Yeah, just a bit beaten up, to be honest. Feeling a bit stiff and sorry for myself for the last few days, but I'll be all right.
And I guess it's hard then, because there must be part of you that just needs to get back out there and get back on the bike almost and put that behind you.
That's true. I'm glad that the Southern 100's so close to it, to be honest. Though I don't want to spend loads of time off the bike and then next time I get on it think, oh, you know, I don't want to go too quick around this corner, or, you know, you just, like people say, you need to get back on the saddle straight away.
How much is it a mental thing as opposed to physical?
It is definitely a mental thing. Like, I'm going as fast as I think is possible to go on short circuits, and there's a lot of people up there that are quicker than me. And I know my bike's fully capable of it. It's just all in your head. You know, you'll see someone overtake you somewhere or go through a corner and you think to yourself, well, how are they getting around there? And I'm going as fast as I can. But it is mental, and a lot of it's just more and more practice to get yourself up to that level that you need to be pushing at the front.
And who are your motorcycle mentors, would you say? Who do you sort of look up to and think, actually, they're the sort of style that I'd like to emulate?
To be honest, I don't think I've got any. Like I said before, I like watching MotoGP and BSB, World Superbikes, but I don't think I'll ever be as quick as them boys are, definitely.
So what is the aim then? Have you got a goal in mind, or is it just literally doing it for the love of it?
I'm just doing it for the love of it, to be honest, yeah. I'm not going out there, like, pushing for results, especially my first year. I'm just going to go out there and make sure I learn the course properly, do everything right, and just get home safe, basically. I don't want to be pushing on and making silly mistakes, stuff like that. I'm just going to take it as it comes, just build into it over the week.
And something else, we're talking about support, and actually you're also going to be supported by the Billy Redmayne Memorial Foundation as well at this year's event. And I just wonder what that means to you.
Oh, it means a lot to me. Dave Redmayne is obviously a scrutineer up at Derby and down at the Sub 100 and the PTT, and what he's done for us, like myself and the other local newcomers, is a great help, and I can't thank him enough, to be honest. Yeah, it's brilliant. What they do for newcomers every year is brilliant. It's something that we need more of in the sport.
And it's not just about finance, is it? Although obviously that helps, but it's just that guidance and that belief in you, I guess, and just having that point of contact.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Like I said, with Dave being a scrutineer, he's always on the end of the phone if you need help with anything to do with your bike. And having people like that around you is, you know, it's, you can't put a price on it, really, to be honest.
And just thinking again about ARA, I think, was it you finished fourth in the Supersport Championship last year?
Yes.
And you're currently lying third, is it, in the Supersport Championship this year?
Yeah, it's good. Get a little trophy at the end of the year, hopefully. The competition's fierce up there, to be honest. I mean, you've got a couple of lads that are out of sight already, but the battle for third after the terrible weekend I had, and a lad, Alex, who I'm fighting with, he didn't have a particularly good weekend. I think he said something was wrong with his bike. But there's us two, and then there's another lad, Rob. So there's three of us that are within 2 points of each other for third. So it's good. It means the racing's going to be good and close, and, you know, puts a bit more emphasis on getting a good result up there, which pushes you on a bit, yeah.
So as we're talking, it's the Thursday before 700 starts on Monday. Would you be able to give us a sense of what the next few days are going to look like for you?
So tonight we'll be running my daughter to dancing, as I usually do. Tomorrow I'll probably do a bit more on the bike, trying to get it ready. I've still got quite a lot of stuff to do. Saturday I've actually got an interview with the Manx Grand Prix on Saturday afternoon, so I'll get that done. And then Sunday it'll be like getting the awning set up over the paddock, finishing the bike off, getting everything ready. And then, yeah, Monday is actually going to be chaotic because my daughter's dancing down at Timwell Day in the afternoon. So I've got myself and the other kids and my wife will be going down to watch her, and then we'll be rushing back to get the bike up through scrutineer and stuff, get ready to go out. Oh yeah, very busy.
Do you know, I feel exhausted just listening to you, Sam. I think I need to go and have a lie down. And that's the reality, though, isn't it? And I think for people who are doing this for the love of it, you've got to obviously work as well, and presumably you're going to have some time off next week, are you?
Yeah, I've booked the entirety of next week off.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, I need the time off, to be honest.
How do you find sort of like trying to concentrate on work and sort of real life stuff when you've got so much else going on in your brain?
Fine, to be honest. I'm quite good at, as soon as I leave work, I kind of shut off from work and I don't think about it. And when I'm at work, I'm just kind of doing what I'm doing at work. I don't really like the two of them getting away with each other.
And obviously you've had experience around the Blaen course already this year with the pre-TT. How did that go?
It was okay. I was riding Dave Green's Steely, which I really appreciate the opportunity to have a go on that. It's a really good bike. I missed the Friday due to the rain. Went out on the Saturday lunchtime, and it was really good, to be honest. A few little issues with the bike, but we qualified in eighth place, I think it was. But then it obviously absolutely chucked it down on Saturday night, and I just haven't got the interest in riding around there in the rain, to be honest. So I just parked the bike up and went and watched with one of my sponsors and had a bottle of beer.
Oh, see, that's a tough decision to make, isn't it? Because obviously, to a certain extent, you can have rain down on the Blaen course and it still go ahead. But actually, I think to be able to say, no, that's my line, but I suppose that's quite a good thing to be able to do.
Yeah, it's just like everybody doing it knows, we all know what we're doing. And to me, you know, the risk-reward, it's not worth it to me to just add that extra element of danger into it. I have ridden around there in the damp and I didn't enjoy it, so I didn't fancy going out in the torrential rain, which is what it was, to be honest.
How glued have you been to the weather apps over the recent days?
I literally only looked at it this morning for the first time and it doesn't look too bad. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens, won't we?
And in terms of the team that you've got together for the Manx and whatever, is that all sorted? Have you roped everyone in?
Yeah, so I'm actually jumping in Ian Solyu in his truck from BD Racing, and himself, Mark Rain and Jason Corcoran are going to be my pit crew and help me out through the week, which I'm very grateful for, because I was worrying, thinking I'd have no one there to help me, to be honest.
This really interesting thing about the pit crew that you need and the pit stops and whatever, is that this really going to be your sort of first experience of that side of things?
Yeah, I mean, I've done endurance racing before where you've got pit stops and stuff, but it's totally different. I've never had to like come in and go straight back out again. You know, usually in endurance you get off the bike, someone else gets on it. So yeah, it's something else I'm really looking forward to having a go at, to be honest.
And just remembering to have that limiter on.
Yeah, I've got the pit lane limiter sorted.
And the other thing that is really important these days for anybody in this sport is having quite a profile out there, whether it's social media or whatever. What do you like with that side of things?
I'm not great at it, to be honest. I mean, I do have a Facebook page, which I do put posts on and stuff. I tag all my sponsors and share pictures and stuff like that. But stuff like this, I'm not very good at, to be honest. I get a bit nervous in front of microphones.
Pretty natural, I would say, actually. But it's an important part of it, isn't it? And I suppose there's that sense of responsibility, like, say, making sure you tag in all your sponsors and everything like that, because showing that appreciation must go a long way.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like I said, I couldn't do any of this without the support of my wife and my family and the people that sponsor me as well. Like, I genuinely couldn't do it. So I do like to make sure they're all tagged. And then, you know, at the end of the year, just try and repay the favour to them in some way, if it's possible, you know. Because, like I said, I couldn't do it without them.
So you mentioned your Facebook page. What is that? What's it called?
Just Sam Norton 29. I'm not entirely sure of the tag on it. Like I said, I'm not very good at it.
Well, we'll put a link to that on the podcast page. And, yeah, just wishing you all the very best for the next few months. I mean, it's hard to believe that MGP is coming around so quickly. Obviously, again, fingers crossed for the weather that time. And yeah, all the best for the Southern 100 as well. And can you cook a meal and do stuff on your bike at the same time, since it's in the kitchen? You know, you're good at multitasking.
Get the air fryer on, it's not too bad.
Sam, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Sam Norton, and I just can't imagine his kitchen, to be honest, because there aren't many people who would be as forgiving as his wife Charlotte to having a bike in there, I'm sure. Great to catch up with Sam. Really looking forward to seeing him during MGP and finding out how he goes, and obviously Southern 100 before that, a really super busy time. The link to his Facebook page is on the podcast page, so please do give him a follow and see how he's getting on. If you'd like to be part of the podcast, then you can always drop me an email. It's bethsb@manxradio.com. Journey to a Dream is brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance, and you can find out more about them by visiting their website. It's kawasaki-insurance.co.uk. And so until next time, take care. Bye-bye.